Revelation chapter 22. Read one verse this evening, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You notice he's already mentioned a couple of times in this chapter. There in verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. And then also he made the statement again in verse 12. Verse 7 and verse 12, Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. He's saying here when he said, I come quickly, I'm coming without delay. I'm coming suddenly. And he's been coming. Someone said, I think it was Don, I read somewhere one time, he said from that time, from the time he left, he's always been on his way. He's on his way back now. He's coming to get his bride. You notice there first it says, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit and the Bride of Christ say, Come. Basically, that's a declaration that they're saying, Come. Come suddenly. They desire for Him to come. The bride's desire is for the husband to come and take her to her himself. I thought about Rebecca longing to see Isaac. Remember, as the servant came to get her and to bring her to where Isaac was at, I could see them as they would sit down at night and when they would camp and she would say, Tell me something else about him. She longed to see him and he longed to see her. The bride is moved by the Spirit to say, Be coming. That's his work in us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness as our spirit that we are the children of God. The church that's been redeemed, she awaits the one that she loves. Isaiah 62:5, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. We long to see the one we love. Having not seen, we love. And that's what he's saying. He's coming quickly. We say, well, come on. Come suddenly. Come, come, come. The bride, you've heard me say when we looked at the Jewish tradition when he gave the marriage supper of the Lamb, the bride was chosen before the world was ever made, before she was ever born, before she ever entered in. His bride was chosen. But then Christ came to this world to purchase and pay for His bride and to redeem her. He paid the dowry. He bought her. She's His bride. He bought her by price and by power. And now He's gone back to prepare a place for His bride in John 14. And when He's finished that place, He's coming again. He's coming to get her. To get her. And He's going to take us to the Father's house. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And when He comes, He will present His bride to Himself without spot or blemish or any such thing when He comes. When He comes, we're going to see Him as He is. As His bride, we celebrate what He's done until He comes. As we celebrate the Lord's table and as we gather as the gospel's preached, we celebrate what He's done. This do in remembrance of me till He comes. And we look forward to it, longing for His return. As He gets ready to wrap up the Scriptures, in verse 20 says, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then let him, secondly, him that heareth. Let everyone that heareth Heareth what? Hear the gospel. Hear that he said, I'm coming. Behold, I'm coming. They say, just like the church did, be coming. He that hath ear, he heareth. Let us not be forgetful hearers. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd and the sheep long to see the shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's talking of Christ, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Everyone hears because God gave them the ability to hear. A lot of people hear and never hear. They don't hear with understanding. It's almost like when our Lord spoke there in Matthew 16. He told them what he was going to do, didn't he? I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise from the grave the third time. And it's like Peter never heard it. He heard it and didn't understand. He said, be it far from thee, Lord. And our Lord rebuked Satan. He said, you don't consider the things of God. You're just thinking about earthly things. Because you know they didn't want him to leave. They've been with him for 3 years. And to say, you're going to die? Why are you going to die? Why must you die? Why must you suffer? We don't understand this. He said, some of these things you won't understand now. But after I'm risen, you will understand. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. We believe he's coming. It's just not a theory. It's a fact. He's coming. Let me give you a couple of scriptures there in the first part of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed is man that readeth and that heareth. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth. Well, how are they going to hear? They must be given the ability to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. What is he saying? What the Scripture saith unto the church. Revelation 3:22. He says it again, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The hearing ear and the seeing ear, the Lord hath made both of them. Oh, for ears to hear what he's saying and to believe it. Not all men are glad at what they hear. Not all men, you could talk to men today and they wouldn't be glad to hear that Jesus Christ is coming back. They wouldn't, they would be terrified, horrified. I thought about Adam. When Adam sinned in the garden, how his eyes were opened. And he went and hid and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself. He heard. He heard, but instead of it bringing joy, you think about this before, God walked with him in the cool of the day. He probably longed to hear him coming. Coming in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he heard him, and now he don't like what he hears. Adam, Adam, where are you at, Adam? We see the parallel of this in Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They hear his voice. He's coming, they hear. And they don't say come, they say hide us. Hide us. And then the third thing, let him that is athirst come. In John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, "If any man thirst." Imagine hearing that. If any man thirst, why, I thirst. Is anybody out there thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. You go, what does he mean by that? He gives you the understanding. Let him come to me and drink. Psalms 42:1. John was telling me the other day, we were talking, John O'Brien, and he was talking about this verse. He likes to hunt like Jim does, and he didn't, you know, this is all just real new to him. He's just reading these things for the first time, and he's amazed that God put things in the scriptures like he did. As the hart, the young deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. And he said, I can see that deer panting for some water, probably being chased and hunted, and it longs for some water. That's the way we long for him. He that is athirst. Only the Lord can create a thirst for him. As that heart, David watched it. I could maybe see David out. He may have been chased. I don't know where David was at in that point in his life. And he sees that deer just panting, just wanting a drink of water. One day he wanted a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem and he couldn't go. We pant after him. We long for him. As that deer pants after a drink of water, a cool drink of water, our souls pant after him. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Well, he that hath no money, while I don't have any money, well, come and buy and eat. Well, what do you come to buy with your hand empty? That's the price. Nothing in my hand I bring. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, he asked the question, do you spend money for that which is not bread? And ye labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. All about where our Lord spoke to the nation of Israel. His people, he said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Forsaken him. And you know what they did when they forsook him? Well, they got to try to find water from somewhere. They've hewed them out a cistern, a thing that catches water in, and it can't hold water. Why would you labor to cut out something, hew out a cistern to hold water, and it can't hold water? And you forsake the living water that you didn't have to dig a cistern. You just go and drink. That's grace. We just come and drink. Man in his works, he wants to do something. Well, look what I've done. I've made me a cistern. Well, what good is it? It can't satisfy. But then the last one, he says, whosoever will take the water of life freely. What he's saying is, whosoever is willing to take, let him take. The question is, who's willing? By nature, no man is willing. By nature, we are those who hew out cisterns. That's who we are by nature. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Whosoever will. People that are dying in works religion are not, they're not willing to take the water of life freely. They're not willing. They will not. They will not. Now they'll do something else, but they won't do this. Our Lord said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. And it could be read, and you do search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And those Scriptures which testify me, he said, you search the Scriptures. You think by your searching you're going to find eternal life. You think you'll receive eternal life, but you're searching. And you won't come to me. You will not come that you might have life. All those who are in the flesh are not willing to take the water of life. If men were thirsty, you know what we're talking about, thirsty. You know what it's like to be thirsty. We're thirsty probably a lot of the time. Our souls are thirsty. We long for a drink of cold water, which is the only thing that can satisfy our soul. Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, the earthly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Why wouldn't they come to God? They don't want to. They don't want to. They're not willing to come. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They don't want it. We won't have it. And those who are not taught of God will not come. John 6:45, it is written the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. All his people shall be taught. What are they taught? There's no other water anywhere else. How did they get water in the Old Testament? How did they get water in the wilderness? Christ, the rock that followed them. That's the water. That's how they survived. How do we survive the same way? They shall be all told of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, every one of them, not some, all, every one of them, shall come, cometh unto me. Not coming one time. We are coming unto Christ. We keep coming unto him. Why do we do that? We've been taught and we've heard. And until men are taught, and men won't be taught. They don't want to be taught. You ever tried to teach somebody something who thought they knew everything? It's impossible. They think, I know what we believe is right. And they won't see it, and they won't listen, they won't be taught, and they won't come. You can tell them there's no salvation in any other world but in Jesus Christ. Said, I won't have it. When you get thirsty, all somebody would have to say, are you thirsty? Come and get water. And you'd run. You wouldn't care what the water was in. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it's a goblet. It doesn't matter if it's a paper cup. That doesn't matter. What you are interested in is what's in the cup. And that's Christ. That's it. And you've heard and been taught. He teaches, and he keeps teaching us. We know what it's like. We go after other things. We know that. That's just a fact. We mourn over it. But he keeps teaching us, Mike, there's no water anywhere else. I'm the only thing that can satisfy you. The things of this world can't satisfy you. Mercy is not obtained by anyone's will. Romans 9:15. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy. On whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion. On whom I will have compassion. So it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Who is this whosoever will? Who is this that's willing? Those who are made willing in the day of his power. We can't make somebody willing. We've all tried that. That's the problem. It's man's will. Men want to talk about man's so-called free will. Now, Adam had one. He lived in a perfect body, in a perfect environment, and he sinned with his eyes open. He was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He was brilliant, and still fell. And since then, you know what? We do just like Adam now. We run and hide. That's what we want to do. That's what our wills will do. We'll go anywhere else but Christ. They must be called from death to life. John 17:1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He makes them willing. That's what's so amazing. He takes a person that is so unwilling and makes them willing. And before they did exactly what their will wanted them to do, and now they do exactly what God has enabled them, and now their will wants to serve him. I go back, and John may listen to this message, and that'll be fine. He told me, you know, he had made up his mind he was not coming back to West Virginia. That was what he'd willed to do. He was not coming back. He made up his mind. He was angry. He was upset. It affected his will, and his will manifested himself. Well, then one day he catches himself coming down Interstate 77, pulling the camper. Where's he going? He's going to West Virginia. What happened? Something happened to his will. Somebody made him willing. God's able. God is able. And he did. And he told me, he said, I was listening. He said, I don't know where I read it, who I heard it from. I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 6. When God revealed his glory to Isaiah, and he said, it's like God reached inside my heart and just pulled it out and showed me that he was God and not him, not John. And when he did, he made him willing. And he there makes a man willing, he'll be willing. And that will be whosoever will. He'll come. He'll come. It don't matter. Nobody can't get in his way. He's coming. He's coming. John 9:5, and whosoever will not receive you, they won't receive the gospel. Our Lord said, they won't receive you. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Many try to insert the word will into scriptures where it's not needed and it does not belong. We give you some scriptures, Matthew 10:33. For whosoever shall deny me before men, notice whose will it's talking about. It's talking about God's will. Him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. John 3:15. That whosoever, it doesn't say whosoever will believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We talk about God's sovereignty. God saves whom he will, and God will make them willing in the day of his power. And men run to wave up their hand, well, I believe in whosoever will. Yeah, we do too. Whosoever will. Whosoever believeth in him. Who's going to believe in him? Those he makes willing in the day of his power. And until he does that, you'll never believe in him. Never. Who made you to differ? We had the same corrupt will as everybody else did. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. It's amazing how it's tied in with him, with his will, believeth in him. Acts 10:43. To him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, here it is again, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What is salvation? Believeth in him. How do you believe? You heard. You've been taught. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by seeing. It comes by hearing. Now, he does reveal himself. I understand it, but faith comes by hearing. By hearing. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's believing on him. Romans 10:11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go back sometime and just read those verses. Whosoever's the only verse that we all knew, that our only scripture I knew in Romans 10 was whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When if you go back, he will define why they call. How can a man call on a God he's never heard of? He can't. How's he going to believe in a God he's never been introduced to? He can't. So what does God do? God sends him a preacher. How can he preach except to be sent? And God works through the preaching of the gospel, and men hear about Christ, and God enables them to believe, and the way they believe, the way they manifest their faith, is they cry out. Whosoever shall call, want a drink of water, they'll call. I think it was Maurice Montgomery I read one time. He said, if God ever made men thirsty, there'd be a stampede of people running to where the water was at. Henry said one time, how long will a man go to a well where there's no water? When he gets thirsty, he'll leave. He'll get thirsty, he'll leave. And they will. There's no water there, why would you go? To those who believe, or whoever believes, do so because they have been given grace to do so. If anyone is willing to take the water of life, it is because that is what they want. Isn't it amazing? He won't, just like he said, you shake the dust of your feet off as a testimony. If they won't receive you, you just go somewhere else. He won't stay where he's not wanted. The Gadarenes, that whole country, they said, we want you to leave. And he left. He won't stay where he's not wanted. Well, the two on the road to Emmaus constrained him. They said, would you come into our house? And he went into their house. The sovereign Son of God allowing us to constrain him. He went in where he was wanted to receive. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. Come down. And he jumped down a tree. He didn't say, I don't believe I want to go. He made him willing to climb a tree. A grown man climbing a tree like a little boy. Why is he doing that? God made him willing. I got to see him. And the only way I can see him is to climb a tree. So God made him willing. He looked around and go, what can I do? I know what I can do. I can climb a tree. And he's going, where's he at? He doesn't stand out from everybody else. He looks just like everybody else. And you know when Zacchaeus knew who he was? He's going, where's he at? Somebody said, Zacchaeus? Who are you talking about? Oh, there he is. When he spoke his name, he knew who he was. And he said, Zacchaeus, this day salvation has come to your house. I'm going to your house today. Why would he go to his house? And he jumped down out of that tree. And now he's willing. He said, before conversion, you know what he willed to do? Rob everybody and get everything from everybody, everything he could get. Now he said, Lord, if I've robbed anybody, I give it fourfold. Something's happened to his will. Those who don't want the water won't take the water. They want the water because they are thirsty. This passage here is spoken to the willing, the thirsty. And it means something to us who've been made thirsty, Danny. We've been made willing. He made us thirsty. He made us willing in the day of His power. That's life from the dead. Only divine power can take. That's so amazing. He took a Paul, Saul of Tarsus. His will was to kill every Christian I can find. I'm going to have them thrown into prison or something. And on the Damascus Road, God changed His will. His will. Now the same zeal He had for religion, He has for the Lord. He's willing to do whatever. The first part of the verse here is not a call to anyone willing, not everybody. It is a declaration of what I read in verses 7 and 12. He gets the same response. I'm coming. And they said, will you come on? Come quickly. The Spirit and the bride are one. The spiritual bride says to her Lord, come. He that heareth the word spoken is him who is of God and has been given faith. He that is of God heareth God's words. You, and who he was talking to, he said, ye therefore hear them not. And the reason they don't hear, because ye are not of God. That's so plain. Isn't it in John 10 where he's talking about the sheep? I give my life for the sheep. He said, you know why y'all don't believe? Because you're not my sheep. Simple and plain. He said, you're not, if you were my sheep, you'd hear. You'd know to come to me. He has sheep and goats. You don't make sheep goats and you don't transform goats into sheep. Sheep have always been sheep and goats will always be goats. We have goats, and I'm not trying to make sheep out of them. They're goats. They'll eat anything inside. That's goats. They're not sheep. Different nature, and it's amazing how God made them, isn't it? When God's children hear, our Lord speak of quickly appearing. Did I hear Him say He's coming? Well, Lord, come. In your heart you cry, Lord, come. Come. And the rest of the passage switches from a recorded response to a call to those who have a need and a desire. To those who are thirsty. Our Lord says, come. They are some thirsty souls. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground, the old parched, dry heart. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. I thought about when Elijah, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. You imagine how thirsty they were. You imagine if the ground could have spoke how thirsty it was. And God said, I will pour water upon him that's thirsty. I don't just give him, I'm going to pour it on him. I used to like to watch them old westerns. You know, and there'd be a drought coming and it'd start raining. Everybody just run out there with their mouth open. Like, just pour it all over me. Whosoever is willing to take this water, our Lord says, do so freely. Without money, without price, there's no restrictions. That's grace. Just come. You know what this is? This is a guarantee to the thirsty that their thirst will be satisfied. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And notice there in verse 1 of chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the water. That's him. I hope that's a help. Let's pray.